Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's guest is Nishant Reddy, founder and CEO of California-based A Golden State. This conversation was recorded over the phone on April 6th, 2023.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. All right. Well, I'm going to jump right into it. Again, talking to Nishant Reddy, CEO and founder over at A Golden State, California-based cannabis company that has been on the forefront of making sure that you have the prime genetics. You've got the most pure growing facility in California. I got to ask you, man, what's been going on since the last time we talked? It's definitely been a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like we said, I think probably going on 2 years, you know, the pandemic just puts us in this crazy vortex of who knows when time is, right? But a lot has been going for us. It's been a really incredible growth cycle. You know, we opened up our second facility that added an extra 50,000 square feet of operations for us. We've got a third facility that's 60% completed. You know, we've hit the market swinging with our Phasis brand, which is California's leading effects-based cannabis brand. So an extension of, you know, our brand portfolio, separate from A Golden State, but really encompassing all of those same premium attributes, you know, proprietary genetics, indoor cultivation, AAA flower, you know, small batch, artisanal, all the stuff that we are known for. You know, whereas the Golden State really focuses on exotics, connoisseur level, proprietary genetics, you know, the hottest cannabis out there. That's what A Golden State is. Phasis, what we're really doing is focusing on, again, on that expertly curated, you know, terpene forward effects focused brand, right? So from the canna curious to the connoisseur, this is that, you know, approachable, fun, vibrant line of cannabis that is, again, delineated by effects, you know, and expertly paired.
Well, and I was going to say terpenes have kind of, since we last talked, you know, originally they were, you know, the rumbling of, hey, the entourage effect, the terpene profile being kind of the end all be all of what the cannabis experience is, was really on the back end of connoisseurs' minds. Now that's like the forward side of the cannabis industry. Does it surprise you at the speed that it took the industry to kind of catch up with that?
It's, you know, it's funny because I like, right, I have a love-hate relationship with this whole subject, right? And I think in the lane that we operate at and our focus, you know, we were always doing what we do, which is producing and so and curating and cultivating the best cannabis, right? It was never about let's chase the highest THC percentage, because again, as you and I both know, that's a silly way to look at cannabis. And, you know, what we focus on is really that 360 amazing entourage effect. Our weed has to have it all. Otherwise, it's not going into one of our brands. It's not going into a jar and it's not going to go into the market. You know, I'm a little disappointed of how long it's taking. And I'm a little disappointed that people still are chasing the THC thing. But, you know, to each his own. And, you know, that doesn't change our approach and doesn't change what we do. And, you know, people that have the appreciation and, you know, really understand what cannabis is about, know why they're coming to our brands. And I think it's still our everyday responsibility to help educate and expose everybody else to what we're doing and kind of why this approach is the right approach and why, you know, again, you want to be focusing on that full spectrum 360 entourage effect, you know, robust cannabis profile, not just one that's about 39% THC, right?
Well, at A Golden State, I mean, you guys, like I said, you guys have been absolutely crushing it kind of since day one, especially on the flavors. I mean, the strains that you guys put out, you know, I know when people say, you know, top tier cannabis or AAA cannabis or private reserve here in California, it's kind of been a catch-all for like, okay, it's fire. No, if you guys have never tried A Golden State, or if you guys currently don't stock A Golden State in your dispensary, you guys have no idea what the hell you're missing. Like, you guys are absolutely putting out incredible cannabis. And I tried your Phasis recently, and I was really, really honestly surprised at the differential between kind of the connoisseur, like you said, focusing more on the strain on the Golden State side. And now you're really focusing on kind of this terpene profile. What made you want to make that kind of that pivot and creating a secondary a brand or kind of a sister brand for Golden State?
Yeah, so I think it's twofold, right? One, I think that let's just be transparent here and say that, you know, 90-95% of cannabis brands in California aren't producing anything. They're just sourcing product. And those that had, quote unquote, tried this effects-based model historically, you know, kind of didn't do it well. You know, it wasn't really an authentic take at it because honestly, they weren't cultivating, right? So there was no consistency, there was no accountability. And at the end of the day, the consumer wasn't getting their desired effect every single time they bought that strain from XYZ company, right? That created an opportunity because people just weren't capitalizing on this and doing it well. The second part of it is, you know, we see in our everyday life an increasing demand from people to find natural solutions to everyday problems, right? Anxiety, insomnia, mental health, energy, whatever. So cannabis is a natural solution for those things. And so when you put those two buckets together, there was an opportunity in the market because people weren't able to capitalize on this and do it well. There was increased demand from the user base. And then you come to us and we're a full vertical premium house of cannabis that we've got the genetics, we've got the cultivation practices, we know how to breed, and we can expertly then find and source and pair terpenes and the right cannabis strains with a desired effect and do that consistently, right? That's what we're known for. So we've got the platform to really be that leading effects-based brand and give the consumers what they're looking for. So it was just, you know, it was opportunity, it was demand, and it was the fact that we knew we could do it better than anybody else.
When you're looking at kind of the dominance in the genetics and the terpenes that you want to capitalize on, what goes into kind of the research and development process behind building those specific strain profiles and saying like, this is what meets a Golden State standards, this is what's going to go out to the marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so with the Golden State, it's got to be everything, right? I mean, it, let's talk. So I looked at a genetic, you know, just this past week, and it was super high THC. We popped three different varietals of it. You know, they're all testing high 30s. One even tested at like 40%, you know, good bud structure, blah, blah, blah. But like, it had no nose, dude. Like, none of the genetics had nose. And we know that as you push into higher THC, you generally lose certain attributes. The smoke can be a little harsh. And so the question was like, okay, we know the market wants high THC. We know people are going to be like, oh my God, 40%, blah, blah, blah. But like, it doesn't have a nose. The smoke isn't that good. It's not smooth. It's a little harsh. Like, that's an obvious no. That's not a Golden State strain. You know, it doesn't have all those attributes. And I'm not going to be bullied into chasing THC percentage because I know that's a genetic that shouldn't be in a Golden State, right? So, you know, then we don't use it. Then we look at, okay, does this have a terpene profile that can do something in one of the phases effects? Okay, it's got high myrcene, it's heavily sedative, it's a good nug, good genetics, strong THC percentage, right? And then we go through that process and see, does it have a home in phases? Does it make sense? And if not, then it's not. We just don't use it, right? So again, we're hyper picky between the two brands, and you know, you're sourcing and looking for different attributes, and you're very intentional in that decision making process. And only the best of the best make the cut ever, regardless of what brand we're talking about.
Well, and scaling a company, especially in the California cannabis industry, is not easy. I mean, you obviously extremely intelligent person. You're a Wall Street guy. You're somebody that came out to California. You understand business. But even at the best of times, California cannabis is not an easy way to navigate traditional or kind of this counterculture side of business. When you're trying to decide kind of who to hire and who to have on your team, and when you're scaling upwards, especially, you know, in a tumultuous time in the industry, how do you pick your players? How do you make sure your team is on point? Because clearly you're crushing it.
No, I appreciate that, man. And I really appreciate all of the kind words. It means a lot, especially having knowing you over the years, and you've really had a firsthand look into the growth, right? It's really hard scaling when you talk about the people component, right? the pandemic has changed a lot in terms of people's desire to work, where they want to work, work ethic, right? I think the last couple of years for cannabis has been hard for the industry. I think a lot of people have PTSD from, you know, where they might have worked or the experiences they've had. You know, first and foremost, when we hire, you got to have passion, because if you don't believe and buy into the vision that is the vision behind our company to be the best, you know, and take no shortcuts and cut no corners, this probably isn't the right shop for you, right? Because to do what we do at the scale at which we do it, with the perfection that we put out every single day, there's no simple way to do it. It's just hard freaking work. It's dedication, it's pursuit of excellence, it's artistry and craft, you know, and it's every day wanting to wake up and get better at your job and really caring about your output, right? It sounds simple, but if we really think about old school ways of craftsmanship, that's what it was like. In somehow in the last several decades, we've lost that level of like commitment and work ethic and dedication to a craft. And that's what we are here at, you know, Golden State or Phases, right? Whether it's the packaging line, whether it's the cultivation team, whether it's the white glove service from our sales team or our brand ambassadors doing PADs, it has to have that level of execution at every single touch point, or it's not from us. So, you know, you got to just ask yourself, like, does this person have those attributes? Are they willing to just buckle down and do the hard work? Because there's no other glamorous way. And the reality of it, man, is it's like, we can't have weak links at the level we operate at, because a kink in the system is a kink that affects everybody, you know? And if somebody's going to do sloppy work, or, you know, not hand water the plants right, or not lollipop right, it's going to negatively impact everyone. And if that person doesn't hold themselves accountable and want to show up to be the best, then they probably shouldn't be at this company. And, you know, so we're really selective, and, you know, you don't have to love cannabis, but it certainly helps and makes a difference if you do, because, you know, like you said, this is a hard industry. It's hard work. You know, it's oftentimes it feels like one step forward, two steps back. If you don't love what you do and you don't want to make a difference, it's just hard to be in the fight every single day.
And you're absolutely 100% right. And I also do want to ask you, because you did mention, you know, kind of the change over the past couple of decades in relation to the enthusiasm some people have had. Do you believe that the transition from 215 to 64 and kind of all the over-regulations are simply burning a lot of these old school players and industry executives out?
100%, dude. I mean, right? Like 100%, you know, even if you look at somebody like myself, right? Like, I've had my bank account shut down. I can't get a mortgage. Like, you know, that's insane. That puts a real tax on me and my family and my personal life. You know, I've created, you know, 100+ jobs over the last 2 years. It's like, I pay federal tax. I pay state tax. My companies don't do any black market activity. Why are we being penalized this way? You know, like, you're hamstringing my ability to raise my family and live a normal life, but you're taxing me and treating me like any other person, you know? So that has a burnout level even for a guy like me. So it's like, I think 100% over-regulation and inefficiencies negatively impacting everyone. And, you know, you see all the layoffs in the industries and companies struggling, and 280E, lack of safe banking. You know, it doesn't need to be this way. But if you want this industry to stand up, but then you want to like tie its arms behind its back and try to strangle it, like, what else are you creating if it's not burnout, you know?
Well, are you hopeful that, I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about 280E. There's been a lot of talk about safe banking. Are you hopeful that that will ever come to fruition? Because I thought that it was going to happen literally every year for the past 2 years now.
Yeah, I think, listen, it has to happen, right? There's no other way. I think it really is a question of if, you know, it's a question of when, not if. You know, I think 3 to 5 years is a conservative safe bet. Right. I know that's going to happen. Could it take 7 years? Absolutely. Right. So I think, you got to know that it's coming, and you got to know when that stuff happens, it's only going to be a value add and a tremendous opportunity for everybody in the industry. But you also have to understand that not everybody is going to make it to that point because of the inefficiencies and the overregulation that we talked about. So if you want to make it, then you really got to build a strong, fit, sustainable business. You know, you got to be able to find a profit. You got to be able to run lean. You got to have differentiated product. You got to have a real business that can survive this pretty challenging environment to hopefully make it to the light at the end of the tunnel. But understand that, like, it's a little bit unknown and vague when that light at the end of the tunnel is truly going to arrive, right?
Well, and you guys are absolutely dominating California. I know I've talked with you time and time again about if there's a possibility of out-of-state expansion. I know you're hyper-focused on the California market. When you look at the possibility of, say, federal legalization, because I'm of the mindset I think it's going to take federal legalization at this point in order to get actual banking reform. But let's say that happens. Are you guys kind of waiting for that to take your foray into, say, Nevada or another state? Or are you guys just waiting for the right opportunity?
No, so it's definitely about the right opportunity. And we've set a goal for ourselves to open up, 2 to 3 new states over the next 24 months, basically a 3-year goal. And so we're in year one. And so by year 3, we'd like to be in 3 new markets. And so we're targeting a lot of different markets right now. We're doing the due diligence, but like in everything we do, we move slowly, we're intentional, we do our research. And again, like we're authentic to who we are as an organization and the soul of this company. And we focus on premium products and a premium consumer experience. So, we could have been in 10 states already had we just done licensing deals, right? But we both know that would have destroyed our quality. It would have ruined our brand equity. And there's no way we would have been producing the type of quality we are known for if I just licensed out to Oklahoma or Michigan, right?
100%.
So with that being said, it's really got to be a thoughtful, intentional vertical expansion into the states we want to be, where, again, maybe we don't need to own the cultivations, but we certainly have oversight and management, and we run the cultivation SOPs, we train a team, so it's like that, because at the end of the day, we have to have the ability to own our QC and product, right? That's reaching the marketplace. We're never going to be just some third party.
Well, yeah, and 100%. I mean, licensing deals, especially when you're talking about other tumultuous markets such as Oklahoma. I mean, the other side of the country really aren't able to make sure that they're holding up the standards of a golden state or phases. Definitely the wrong pathway for a high tier brand. But when you're looking at, say, markets that you might, say, be interested in, especially considering, the quality and tier of the cannabis, are you looking at places more like, say, New York, Illinois, or are you looking at, say, more tourism markets?
No, exactly what you're thinking, right? Like large population centers where, you have a knowledgeable customer that has a higher palate, that has a higher purchasing power, also the elasticity of the market. Some of these smaller states, you really have to be concerned about oversaturation and oversupply, right? So we want to be in the bigger markets, urban centers where people can, again, the reality of it is, man, like our product is not cheap, right? It's high quality artisanal product. Product. It's not for the value shopper. So we have to be aligned and in the markets where there's people that have the ability to buy and have the desire and the knowledge to appreciate high-end premium craft cannabis.
And you were saying, kind of along the lines of it's probably 2 years out. If you had to say that there was a market that's more exciting to you than another, what would be your toss-out market?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the ones you mentioned are great, right? New York is super exciting. Illinois is exciting. Florida is exciting. New Jersey is exciting. The pipe dream of Texas is exciting. markets like that. I think Nevada's got some potential for us, as Arizona, if they can stabilize a little bit and control some of the supply, was a market that I was excited about. But I think, again, you're seeing the pressure of oversupply there already, right? And so you got to be careful with that type of stuff, because the last thing you want is to be in another market where people are just dropping prices and having a fire sale because they're desperate. That's not a good place to be, and it's not, you don't need a market like that. It doesn't need to be that way. So, that's not to say that those markets don't self-correct, but as it takes time for that market to heal and for prices to stabilize. So again, a lot of that for us is timing those cycles appropriately.
Well, how excited are you about the potential of an adult use Florida?
I mean, it's just banana. I mean, it's absolutely bananas, right? It's insane. It's such a big state. There's so many potential different type of cannabis consumers, amazing cities, the weather. It's just, it's another home run state with just tremendous amount of potential.
Well, looking around the corner for you, obviously we have 420 coming up. What can we expect from a Golden State and phases coming out this holiday season?
So, we've launched our solventless live rosin vaporizers for a Golden State. So that's whole flower, single source, ultra premium vaporizers. We're also launching our all natural edibles for a Golden State this year. Phases is launching their 7 gram happy mediums coming out, which I'm particularly excited about because we don't quite grow smalls. These are solid mid-sized nugs that are absolutely frothy and crystallized and purple, and they're just, it's the heat, you know what I mean? So
I'm ready, man.
yeah, so we've got a lot of new SKUs coming out, and it feels like at this point, man, it feels like we're dropping new genetics every single month, and that's been amazing. We've dropped Alpine Sunrise. We've dropped a new genetics in Phases Vibration, new genetics in Phases Reverie. We've got new genetics in Phases High Frequency. We've got a new Mountain Shadows genetic coming out in a Golden State. So it's full steam ahead right now, man. It feels incredible in-house because it just feels like we're firing on all cylinders and we're really creating some really special things.
Yeah, that high frequency is truth too, man. I
Are
gotta
you?
ask. Oh my God, yeah, it was awesome. I gotta ask you, brother. Like, if somebody wants to onboard you or wants to get Phases or a Golden State into their dispensary, what's the pathway that they should take?
So just reach out to us, on the Instagram, a Golden State or Phases Effects, or just, to email our sales team directly. Any of those would be great.
We would like to thank Nishant for his time and being on today's episode. Find out more about A Golden State by visiting them online at www.agoldenstate.com. As always, thanks for listening, and make sure to stay tuned to the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis.